This is the February 29 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing and Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. But right now, today, you can still purchase your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook that's coming up on Tuesday next week. Don't wait. Buy your ticket today, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. For the All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Details and registration online at willag.org. Let's start off with a question for the both of you, and Wayne Nelson, will begin with you. Related to crop insurance, given the numbers that we now have for crop insurance, what is it that producers should be considering over the next 15 days by the time we get to March 15th?
Well, I think, you know, they need to look at it, but we're looking at a lot lower guarantees than last year. This is not a insure profit. This is this is for disaster sort of insurance as we look at it here. I think that basically along the way, what we're going to recommend to most of our customers is that they stick with the level, whether it's 80 or 85%, and just stay with the RP. I think we want to, you can go on up, but it's awful pricey going up, and that doesn't insure much. I think we're going to look at some option strategies instead that are actually that they can own and will definitely work for them. Remember, when you buy the ECO or the buy-ups and a lot of that, that is the county policy. That doesn't come back to your own farm. And it also doesn't pay till in the spring. So if you're looking at that for the idea of some cash flow, it ain't going to happen.
And from your perspective, Dave Chatterton?
Yeah, so as Wayne, indicated, very different year here in terms of guarantees and where we're at in terms of corn and soybeans. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those numbers, even at an 80 or 85% calc into a break even or maybe just slightly profitable level for a producer in central Illinois or central Indiana. So I think we're looking at it a little bit differently. And part of that matrix, Todd, or part of that calculus or that decision is the ARC PLC decision plays into that as well. We've had such a big change in the reference prices and the guarantee levels from those products that we're seeing a number of producers rotate, you know, really in both crops, but particularly in corn from a PLC or from a PLC situation into an ARC situation. And that knocks out the SCO if you're going to do that. So you have to think about that in ways of how it's going to affect what you're going to do. But it is a free product. It is a county-based product, and it's a base acre product, not a planted acre product. So make sure you talk to your agent about that and make sure you understand that. We, in a general theme to this point, are seeing producers continue to kind of buy up and chase that revenue guarantee or chase that profitability model in some way, shape, or form. And if you take ARC and you can't take SCO, we're seeing a lot of people gap and take the ECO, look at ECO type plus products. If you do that, as Wayne indicated, you have to go back, look at your data, and we can look at that for you to make sure your correlation to the county stands and that you're comfortable with that. But we've also had a change in what the AIPs are. You know, CRS was a huge insurance rider in Illinois and Indiana last year. They've been acquired by Great America. There's some changes there, particularly to things like replant, hail rates, wind rates. So a number of different things to look at. It's kind of an exhausting process, but this is a year where you need to scrape for every dollar you can. And keep in mind that the government ad hoc programs here over the last several years, really 80% is the minimum. If you go below that, you know, those ad hoc programs are not going to dole out as much or put you in as good a position if we see them this year.
So an ad hoc program, just so folks are still up to speed on us, we have crop insurance, we have ARC and PLC, both already you have been using, and part of the Farm Bill ad hoc would be something that the legislators would look at and put in place in the case of drought or floods or something else that could be by county made, by county across the whole of the United States or just in particular areas. So something that would go along with the disaster. Now, you did mention SCO. I believe you mentioned the ECO as a possibility. That would be with our county PLC. If you're taking, you can use the SCO, and you've mentioned gap. Can you explain the gap or just remind farmers what that gap is? So it's crop insurance, SCO, ECO.
Yeah, correct, Todd. So the maximum level of RP or MPCI individual insurance you can take on any crop insurance policy is 85%. If you want to go above that level, your first starting point is SCO. And SCO is a federally subsidized product, but it's a county-based product, and it takes you up to a maximum of 86%. So you'd be 85 to 86, 80 to 86, 75 to 86, et cetera. If you want to go a step further and go above 86, then you're looking at ECO. And ECO, also a federal product, also a county-based product, and as Wayne mentioned, doesn't pay until we get the RMA yields the following June. So you need to be aware of that from a cash flow standpoint. But ECO can take you up to a 95% coverage level, either 90 or 95, and you can gap those products. So maybe a farmer, you know, on corn takes 80% RP policy, has individual insurance up to 80%, the Prevent plant that goes along with that, and then has a county-based coverage from maybe 90 to 95, or 86 to 95 through an ECO product, if you put it in those terms.
Yeah, so you would be taking the risk on in that case in the gap. The easiest version is 85%. Mm-hmm. There's by a maximum a 1% gap there between 85 and 86 if you cover all the way to 95% revenue.
For that farmer that may take 80% or even 75%, keep in mind if you're doing that and you're foregoing the SCO, you have an ARC policy that is also a county-based product, if you will, at an 86% coverage level that I won't say completely fills that gap, but should fill at least part of that gap.
Is it something you've done the numbers on that you think producers ought to consider, or are they going in a different direction?
Yeah, definitely we're seeing a number of our customers go that way. Now, every operation is different. Needs are different. You might be chasing revenue. You might be more interested in hail or wind or replant, depending on your particular experience and where you're going. But if you're looking for, hey, I'm going to spend some money on crop insurance and I'm going to buy a private product or do something other than my typical RP product, look at some of these products as a way to, how can I harvest that first dollar on the way down? And that first dollar comes at 95%, the next easiest dollar comes at 90, and so on and so forth. Now, the premiums will be associated with that, but ECO is a great example. You can set a liability factor on that that's 100%, meaning whatever the claim would calculate, you were paid 100% of that value. You can go as low as 50%. So if a claim was $200 an acre, you're going to get paid 100, but your premium will also be half of what you would normally pay. So there's ways to structure that in a way that keeps that overall spend down or very close to where it was a year ago in consideration of a lower RP starting point and a cheaper RP policy.
As you've already heard from Nick Paulson, there are tools that are online that you can see a lot of this or go find and listen to your local crop insurance provider to see what those yields and premiums might be and how much they do cover. So you can check that out at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. It might be easier, actually, simply to go to farmdoc.illinois.edu to look for those crop insurance tools. Now, Wayne Nelson, let's talk a little bit about, and we'll stay with new crop for the moment, the difference between new crop coverage and old crop coverage. It's large, from that $4.60 level this year to what, $5.91, I believe, for corn last year?
Yeah, that's a big difference. And I mean, and you know, you're going to look, fortunately, the fertilizer price wasn't quite as bad. The nitrogen prices weren't quite as bad. But we're still looking at a lot lower return per acre after you paid all the expenses out compared to last year. You know, will we see the increase in yield, the trend line yields that the government's sort of figuring and throwing out on their other estimates so far? Maybe. You know, we talked to a lot of guys about weather this last week and just looking ahead. And some of the more real, the people that the weather forecasters that have hit it over the last 2 years are saying, they're not saying dry necessarily, but they are saying hot. With the temperatures that we've seen already this year and everything about it projects and looks, and algorithms will say that we have a real chance of having some very high temperatures. If we have a dry March, then that will increase the idea that it could also be a somewhat dry summer. But these are things that's why you take, you have to have crop insurance. You don't know if your house is going to burn down. You don't know if your crop's going to burn up along the way. But there is some ideas that could, if it comes in early, give us a little bit of a rally that we might want to sell or at least price some stuff on that way. But a lot of talk about that. But I'll tell you what, I mean, if you look at the stocks to use ratio, it's a pretty sick outlook.
Let's do talk about some of the risk management. So producers, holders of old crop, particularly of corn, new crop, I want to talk about the risk management side. Probably put in anhydrous, which seemed nitrogen, which seemed like a good price in the fall, getting cheaper as we go, quite likely, and probably did not make sales to cover that particular input price. Should they, as they pay bills, for instance, for seed, go ahead and make sales to manage risk to cover some costs?
We've promoted that highly over the last couple of years. If you're going to lock in a major and component of your expenses, you need to sell some crop or forward contract, something that's going to keep you from taking the big hit later. You know, we watch down in South America. What do? They don't buy their inputs until they sell their grain, or they hold their grain if they can because of the inflation factor. Well, the way that fertilizer prices are bouncing around, it's sort of like that for us here now, and we will have to do the same thing along the way. I think that along the way, a lot of the guys this time are looking at if we can get a little bit of a rally, maybe sell the cash and then buy a bull call spread, say a September 450, sell 490 along the way. So, you know, something that can give you a little chance to pick up a little bit and not have much tied up, and your risk factor is very low. You don't have to look at margin call. You might have to have margin calls on your top call, but you're making money all the time you're doing it.
Yeah, so I think the short answer to the question is yeah. I mean, we're in a situation where I think you have to have a defensive type of a marketing attitude this year. If you go back 21, 22, 2020, 2023, you could be a lot more offensive in terms of spring crop insurance guarantees were offering you profitability and you had that underneath you. We're not in that situation. So when you're locking in a major part of your cost, you need to know what that margin, what that means to your break even, what your margin is and what your offer is. So if you're not selling grain, you should at least have an offer in to sell some grain. The opportunities that we find in this defensive kind of a environment, I think that we're heading into, you know, Wayne mentioned the carryout to the stocks to use ratio. And, you know, I don't know about summer weather. I don't know anybody who's really good at predicting summer weather. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But when we look at what happens, that carryout to stocks to use ratio is one of the best historical kind of roadmaps to the direction that we're heading. And when we apply the current crop year and even look at the new crop, you know, numbers for that stocks to use ratio, we correlate very well into that 2014 to 2019 time period. The average USDA farm price during that period was like 360 or 365. Now, I'm not saying we're heading back to 365, but if your attitude is we can't go lower because of my cost of production and because of this and because of that, history would tell you otherwise. When you look at where prices were during that period, as far as CBT prices, you're talking 325 to 425. And a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, most producers would have said, there's no way we're going into that window. Well, we've gotten to 410. We're in that window. And so that tells us that you have, you know, we typically during that period see some opportunity to sell a profitable level and create a margin, but it comes and goes very quickly. So you have to be ready to take advantage of that. And if you make sales, like Wayne said, nothing wrong with coming in and buying calls. Call spread is a way to say, look, if there's another bite of that apple, I want to take a bite of it and I can fix that cost and know what it is. But have a plan and be aware of kind of what you're up against in terms of where we're at.
So I do have a question about the stocks to use ratio. If you use the University of Illinois' long-term average of $4.61 for corn, which is based on 10% stocks to use ratio, and we're at 17-18% going into the new crop year, and USDA and the University of Illinois, and I've not actually asked to see why they believe at this point that you can have a 450 or 460 price or a 440 price, which are the two prices I think they're using, 50 and 40, at that high stocks to use ratio. Is it that the farmer in the United States has to think about themselves as the, in terms of wheat, the storage area for the rest of the globe? And really the price is not being set as much here as it is on other export markets. I don't know that that's really the case. So that if the marginal, our last bushel really is coming out of Brazil to begin with, or the primary export. So with those bushels, if that's where much of what is being used in the world is coming from, certainly for soybeans, that would be the case. Although the United States is close, has the stocks to use ratio indicator changed, or might it be changing? And I don't think it's something we know, but it's a higher price at this point, if that's really, because the 17 or 18% stocks to use ratio does not tell you a 440 or 450 price range.
Yeah, it tells you a 310, 320, 330 price range, which is what the point that I tried to make earlier, that, you know, if you don't think there's downside here, historically, it's proven that there is. Now, I'm not, to your point, a lot of things have changed. You could throw COVID in there. You can throw inflation in there. You can throw higher costs in there. How to quantify that, Todd? I guess I wish I had a better way of doing that. I don't know that we do. You know, there's a lot of, I'm going to call it hope or discussion, that $4 is the new 350. And, you know, I can buy into that to a degree. And we haven't spent a lot of time below that $4 mark here recently. And, you know, maybe that's the case. I hope it is. But having said that, you know, we right now, you know, exports are really the key. We know where the supply situation is in the U.S. after the January report. It's just not going to change that much for the U.S. Now, the South America, maybe we can, you know, the Brazilian soybean crop half harvested already. You know, we know pretty much where we're pointing. Argentina, more rains this week. Looks like they're going to land a record crop. So we need demand. If you look in the U.S. on the corn balance sheet, ethanol is 40%, feed is 40%, exports are only 15%, but feed and ethanol right now are at the top of their historical ranges, and we just can't ask a lot more out of that line. I mean, you've got the smallest cattle herd that you've had in the U.S. since the 50s, and, you know, feed demand is just not going to get a lot better. Ethanol is doing better year over year, but U.S. gasoline demand is not growing, so that's an export component. Where we're missing is on the export side, and we're priced at a level right now that's soybeans are $1.60 above where they're offered in Brazil. Corn is more competitive, but Ukraine is still the cheapest out there, and China of late has been taking from Ukraine. So, you know, there's a lot of dynamics going on in here. Like I said, there's a headwind out here, and I don't know what that stocks to use ratio means, and I assume it should be higher than it was back in that time period, but how much higher, we're going to find out.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing that farmers should consider this really in their marketing plan, other than what you're telling them, just that it may be changing or it may not be changing. And the 310, 320, 340, the numbers pan out in that direction. So let's turn your attention to old crop, because farmers not only have an issue with new crop, but there's an awful, awful lot of corn in old crop, and maybe more than producers really would like to have on hand at this point than they normally have. How do they deal with it?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd, I think that we just discovered the reason why you want to take crop insurance, even if it's at lower rates. I think that that's the one thing. But first off here, if we look sort of at analog years, and we look as we've come down, and we have sort of maybe made a bottom or trying to make a bottom here, and if we can close over last week's high, I think that we're going to take some of these momentum funds out. 93% of all the trades going in today are by momentum indicators and AI computers. And if we could get the trend turned around, we can get a rally. Now, can the rally go to $6 or $7? Probably not. But we could get back in that $5 to $5.50 range, possibly like that. And when we make these sales, I think they need to scale something in. And if they still feel there's going to be some weather and that come along with it, I think that you're going to, you buy those bull call spreads we talked about. You buy an option, you do something to stay involved in it. Dave made the comment, you have to stay flexible and be there. And I agree 110% with them. And I think that along the way that we have to be, we put in orders today for guys to sell some corn on the board, even up $4.50, $4.80, $4.95, just so it happens and they don't forget about it. They're going to look at those open orders every day when they look at their positions or what their open orders are. And I think that's a great idea to be thinking about it, thinking where I want to sell some, how I want to scale into this, and how I can survive next year.
Let's talk about scaling in just a bit. How do producers, in your opinion, handle this? And do they be bolder than they have in the past with it if they have the crop insurance coverage?
I think the answer is yes. And I think you want to be able to, last year is a great example, Todd. I'm glad you asked that because, I mean, you have to, if you're going to combine the power of your crop insurance policy with how you're marketing, you need to look at those two and you need to understand, at least in a general sense, what your yield guarantee is, right? So last summer, great example, it's June, it's dry. People are, I'm not going to have the crop. I want to buy out of my cash sale. I need, you know, I'm not going to have it. What am I going to do? Well, by fall, what happens? We have a pretty decent crop. We match the fact of a record crop in the U.S. according to USDA. So in that situation, if you know, you have to be willing to step forward when the market gives you the opportunity and make those sales and know that, hey, I've got a yield guarantee or a crop insurance guarantee below that. If I come up short on a cash sale, I'm only buying out the difference. I'm not buying out 50,000, 100,000, 200,000 bushels. I may come up short 10, 15,000 bushels, but if the difference is a dollar, maybe I have a $15,000 bill at the elevator, I probably have a $150,000 or a $250,000 crop insurance claim that goes along with that. That's what it's designed for. So the answer is yes, you need to be aggressive when you see the opportunities. A true 2012 type of scenario where yields are down 10, 15, or 20% in the U.S., we have a supply problem, and that supply problem is getting worse year over year. South America, a great example. We had all this trouble, all the things that we're talking about. You're going to end up with a record soybean supply when you combine Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, Bolivia. You're going to have probably very close to a record corn supply when you do that, you know. So in that situation, we need more demand in the world and in the U.S. and on our domestic balance sheet. Right now, that's not coming to the forefront. Things always change. They always will. We can't predict the future. But what we do know is that you need to be prepared to take advantage of those. And to Wayne's point, I tell my guys, have an offer in, have another offer above that. Because if that one gets hit, I want you to be ready for the next one.
It's all about the scale up.
I think I agree with Dave wholeheartedly in everything he just said. You know, the other thing is we're looking here and the one announcement's probably going to be made on Friday. It's going to be with this sustainable aircraft fuel and that. And we've watched the RINs on ethanol go down in price a lot here. There's a lot of talk that they might not include the ethanol in some of the air fuel that way. That was one of the big things we were looking at and hoping for this year. But Washington, we will see. Phil Sack and the EPA guy is at the Commodity Classic, and we expect an announcement to come out on Friday. It's going to be a big deal what they say and how that could really push what's happening in the corn market, I think, for the next week or two, month or two, summer or two, however you want to say it. But it could be that pops the bubble and takes some of the air out of what looks like could begin to be a little bottoming action in the corn.
Let's get a final word now from each of you related to marketing or some other issue if you've been thinking about something else. We'll start with you, Dave Chatterton.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to frame up the discussion that we've had, I think we're in a situation where, you know, I mentioned in the opening segment, our guys on crop insurance are chasing higher revenue guarantees and higher underlying coverage. I think they're doing that with the idea of the facts that we talked about of this market looks like it could go lower. We don't want to say that. I hate to be the guy that says that. But if you follow the math and you follow the data and you follow the history, that's where it leads you. Hopefully we're wrong about that. But I think in that sense, you have to look at things, I said, in that defensive marketing tone. You have to have yourself in a position where you can work your crop insurance and your marketing together and be aggressive when you see that opportunity, because the opportunity may not be there for long. And, you know, profitability is going to be challenging here this year. It's probably going to be even more so next year. So, you know, be prepared. I think the biggest thing is you have to get your mentality in the right order, and you can't be looking for those types of per acre P&Ls that we had in 21, 22, 23. We're in a different era here. And the sooner you accept it, I think the better off you're probably going to be and your farm is going to be.
And your final word, Wayne Nelson?
Well, I think that Dave said it right. We got to be defensive this year. I think that we have to look at where we put our money and how we spend it. I think that I'm going to recommend some different things than he did. We're looking at the wind policy. We're looking at the hail policy. And we're looking at the harvest aid policy, where if we have some problems. Those have been some of the things that come along, and they're per acre. they aren't, there doesn't have to be the whole field that goes away. And we think that in some of the other things that that's a good way to spend some of your money. We are also looking at, as I said before, we're going to try to be putting some orders in to be hedging some corn, to selling some of the old crop corn. And when we see some chart points hit and going up, and you know, the analog years tell us that we can go on up and probably touch $4.90 to $5 again. We want to be pretty aggressive sellers at that point. If you feel that the weather is coming against you, we have calls. And you know, and if you want to cheapen those calls up, you do a bull call spread. It does limit your top, and you might have a little margin call as you go on up, but you're making money all the way. When you do, you're making money in the rest of your crop. So, but those are the things we're looking at and we want to think about. So good luck to everybody, and we hope it's a great year.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, where you can today buy your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook. That's Tuesday, the 5th day of March, or next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Details online. The cost is $40, WILLAG.org. Our thanks go to our panelists, including Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net and Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.